Appreciate the singing. Appreciate everybody who's here this morning, and we are grateful that you're here. Grateful we have this opportunity. I want you to get your Bibles, and we'll turn to the Book of Isaiah this morning. Book of Isaiah. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. It'll be a little different than the way we normally do. It's the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter number 26. Probably be making a few references here and there. A couple of verses. I'll read the other verses that we're going to be looking at. I'll be reading those as far as, whenever it's time to turn to them. I won't necessarily may not be taking a lot of time to turn necessarily, but want to try to read some of these verses here as the Lord would help us. So, Isaiah chapter number 26. It's amazing, as you look in the scripture, prophet Isaiah, he comes in a very difficult time in Israel's history, and there's a Jewish, I can't even remember right offhand, I'm drawing a blank, it's what's bad. There's a, in some of the Jewish writings, the way that Isaiah met his end was during the reign of Manasseh. He was put into a hollowed out log and then sawn in half. And the reference in Hebrews 11, when it talks about some were sawn asunder, is said to be a direct reference to what happened to Isaiah. It's hard to believe that God would allow some of his choicest servants to go through such horrendous torture. But I read in Hebrews 11 where it says that they chose not to be delivered for this purpose, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And the hope that we have of the resurrection is a great hope that is something we ought to keep in mind days like today. But as Isaiah is prophesying, there's woes everywhere. He's pronouncing woes all over the place. And part of the time here, we're dealing with Assyria. Later on in Isaiah's ministry, during the reign of Hezekiah, is when the Chaldeans, the Babylonians are going to start knocking on the door. But in the midst of all that's going on, there is still, God always gives a ray of hope in the midst of even the toughest times. I'm going to read some verses in Isaiah 26, but it's interesting. If you're in Isaiah 26, I just want you to just turn the page with me to the right there. In chapter number 28, I'm just going to show you this. Chapter 28 is a woe to Ephraim. And verse 1 says, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim." And you're thinking, man alive, that's a bad deal. I mean, God's pronouncing woes left and right. Chapter 29, woe to Ariel, the lion of God. Basically, woe to Israel, the city where David dwelt, near Jerusalem. You're thinking, man, there are woes everywhere. God is pronouncing judgment. But what's interesting is, if you look in 28 and verse 16, God says this, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." That is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing, in the midst of all the troubled times, there is still hope to be found. What I want to do this morning is I want us to concentrate on some of that. In Isaiah 26, we'll take this for a text and bring you some thoughts this morning out from some other places. But in Isaiah chapter number 26, verse number 1, we read these words, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Look at verse number 3. "Thou wilt keep him on perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse 4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." I want us to think this morning on those verses 3 and 4. You've heard them preached before. You've probably read them. Most of you probably have them highlighted in your Bible. But it says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And let's not stop there. I got chastised as a young man. Remember, I sat in the back of the church and I quoted that verse and I stopped. Brother Kenny Martin said, "Hey, Brother John, you didn't quote the rest of the verse." He said, "The rest of the verse goes this, because he trusteth in thee." And then verse 4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. I pray that you would bless us. I ask you, Lord, that you would take what we have this morning. God, is our world, it seems, is entered into a time of uncertainty. We do not know what is happening, what is going on. We do pray for your blessing. We ask, oh God, for your wisdom in these days. And God, we ask that the sweet Spirit of God would take the Word of God, the promises that we've read, that we've underlined, that we've hidden in our hearts, and God, your Spirit would awaken those promises once again. Lord, even words that we may not have remembered in many, many years, in a way that you've dealt in a special way in those verses, in those passages, in those times. We pray, God, that you would speak to us today. Help us, O Lord, to hear thy voice and be glorified in all things in Christ's name. Amen. What I want to look at this morning is just take this verse number 3 and 4 as a text and a springboard. Which I hate springboard preaching, I'm going to do it anyway, okay? I'm going to break my own rule. I'm not going to be so much expository this morning as I am going to try to be, I'll try to give just an exhortation. But Isaiah says this, in the midst of all that's going on, he says this, that God, Jehovah God, will keep the one whose mind is stayed on Christ, will keep him in perfect peace for this reason, because he trusts in God. And I want to encourage those of us this morning who trust in the Lord to continue to do the same. Verse 4 says this, "Trust ye in the Lord, listen, forever, for in the Lord Jehovah there's everlasting strength." The reason I chose this as a text is because of the assurance that we see in these verses. Notice in verse number 3, "Thou wilt keep him," watch this, "in perfect peace." Not a partial peace. Not a potential peace, but a perfect peace. Jesus said, and I'm going to quote this verse a little bit later in John, I believe it's 16:33, he said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why? "I have overcome the world." Amen. And if you see in verse number 4, "Trust ye in the Lord," and again that word is in all capitals, Jehovah, "forever." Okay? How long do we trust in the Lord? Forever. He is worthy of our trust, not just now, but forever. He is worthy of our trust, not just whenever we are on the top, the mountaintop, and the sun is shining, but he is worthy of our trust when we are down in the valley, we can't see anything, the sun's behind a cloud, and the rain is pouring down. God is still worthy of our trust, trusting in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, watch this, is not some strength, not a little bit of strength, but is everlasting strength. The three things I wanted you to see in this verse are the perfect peace, the words forever, and then the words everlasting. And the reason that I see that is because in our day and time, we are now witnessing on the other side of the world what could potentially turn into the next greatest event on God's calendar. We don't know. And I'm going to tell you this, you don't know either. Now, with all that's going on, I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to disappoint some of you when I say this. But with all that's going on, a lot of pastors are probably had probably spent a lot of time Friday and yesterday in Ezekiel 38 and 39. They probably spent a whole lot of time looking about Gog and Magog and talking about how that impacts Bible prophecy. Talking about the Russian bear, how it's going to start moving westward down, and as it moves westward, it'll probably move southwest and get around Israel. And they're looking at Bible prophecy to see what's going on. And for those of us who are raised back in the 80s, you know, we're thinking about a movie that, you know, that we all saw where the Russians invaded. And we're probably thinking along that line. But I'm going to say this. I'm not smart enough to be able to go to Ezekiel 38 and 39 and to line out exactly what's going on, because I just do not know exactly where we're at on God's timetable. I don't know. I don't know. And a lot of the preachers, you know, I'm not going to fault them. We may go to Ezekiel 38 and 39 at some point in time. But here's the thing. I'm going to go in a different direction this morning because of all that's going on. We have missionaries we know and support on that side of the world. We have missionaries who serve in Russia and have Russian citizenship. We have missionaries that we know and love who are trying to get into Russia to work with certain people groups there in an effort to bring them the gospel. We have missionaries that I've heard of, I could call some names, who are in the process of trying to get their family out of the country for safety reasons. And I'm just going to say this, I will not fault any missionary who leaves, nor will I fault any missionary who stays. That is their responsible choice between them and their God in regard to their ministry and their family. So please don't come to me and tell me, well, they're missing a great opportunity by leaving, or and they're cowards by leaving. Please don't do that. Please don't tell me that, because if you do, I will be the first to contribute the money to give you a plane ticket to take a one-way flight there, and you go in and help those missionaries. Amen. Amen. You may say that's ugly. Well, that might be ugly, but sometimes somebody needs to might grab you by the nape of the neck and shake you a little bit and wake you up to a good reality, dose of truth. But I'm not going to fault a missionary who stays. Missionary who believes that that is where his and his family's work is. Maybe he sends his family away while he ministers there. You see the Ukrainians who are gathered in the subways praying. You see the ones who are in the apartments as the Russian bullies are shooting missiles into apartment complexes and civilian targets for the simple purpose of shock and awe and to be a bully. And if that doesn't tear your heart out, you and I may just be so callous that God may have to bring some stuff to our doorstep to get us to have some emotions. I mean, not even 6 months ago, we had a young boy from Ukraine here who was hosted by one of our, you know, still part of our church family. No longer here, still part of our church family. Ryan Abbey, if you hear that, still part of the church family. Amen. Amen. And when you think about someone trying to reach out and to love someone before there's ever an issue of war and destruction, now that that has come into play, it means so much more because there is a personal connection. There is so much going on in the orphanages over there, and apparently the Russians are as cowardly as the Muslims are, who hide behind the skirts of women and children because they don't want to be engaged. Amen, I said it. You're welcome. Amen. Because they don't want to be engaged in a what we would call a fair warfare. Read yesterday about a preacher who was in his study, and he was going through some of these passages, Ezekiel 38 and 39. And he said he got his gun down and he was looking at his gun and had it loaded and making sure it was all ready to go. And said his little boy came into the study and said, "Dad, what you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm studying for Sunday's message." Well, Dad, why do you have your gun on the table? And he said, well, I'm just ready just in case the Russians come in here. He said, well, why in the world would the Russians come in here? He said, son, I don't know why they would come in here. But if they did come in here, I'd shout Wolverine and I'd shoot them. Hey, man. He said, that's really cool, Daddy. Can I have a snack? And he said, sure you can, son. He gave him a snack and he sent him out. So I was like, yeah. Hey, man. And I thought, that's my kind of guy. I like him. But you stop and think about where we're at this morning. There's a personal connection that we have as a church to some degree with some of those folks over there, whether it's through missionaries, whether it's through the attempted adoption and all that's going on. But here's what I want to look at this morning. I don't know about you, but when you see these things on the news, it'll trouble your heart. Now, it don't trouble me, preacher. It don't trouble me at all. You're calloused and or you're a liar or both. Hey, man, preacher, that's good preaching. Oh, preacher, I just trust Jesus because it's all in working and everything's going to be... Well, it is. But we better not get a cavalier attitude about that. We don't need to have a cavalier attitude. What I want to look at this morning just from these verses is there is a place where we can have peace. And there are some things that we can be assured of. And that's what I want to just look at briefly this morning. And as I do look at that, I'm reminded that what we've heard this past week is unfortunately the norm for life on earth anymore. Forgive me for saying what I say, and you know, we've got folks in here who, you know, they say Vladimir Putin is 70 years old. I'm thinking, man, just one foot in the grave, another on a banana peel. Just go ahead and take a good hard fall. Now, I know that sounds horrible and that sounds terrible. But at the same time, I don't want to pray like one pastor prayed back during the early 1940s as Hitler was raging across Europe. One pastor stood up in his church, and this is what he prayed. He prayed this, "May Hitler be damned." I'm not going to pray that. No, there's a soul there who's going to spend eternity one or two places. And as long as there's some breath, there is some hope, far as I'm concerned. And I don't know where God's line is. You don't either. Neither does the preacher who says he does. But having said that, I want to concentrate not so much on what's going on with what we're unsure of. I want to concentrate on some things we ought to be sure of, some things that we can have peace in. Let me just give you a couple things. Number one, let me say this. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be a people of thanksgiving. And I could give you numerous scriptures for that. But let me just simply say this. We ought to be thankful, number one, for the peace that we currently enjoy. You know, I laid down in my bed the other night and I didn't really worry about anybody coming in the house. And if they did, it was on them. I didn't worry about a rocket flying into my house. Didn't worry about that. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but the time may come where you and I may have to be concerned about that. Warfare is no longer digging trenches and shooting at each other until one side just plumb gives up. Doesn't work that way anymore. We ought to be thankful for the peace that we've enjoyed. We ought to be thankful for the security that we've been blessed with. We have been blessed with great security, national security. We have the ability to protect ourselves. Amen. Amen. I did see the meme on Facebook the other day that said this, now the question has been answered why you need an AR-15 and 30-round magazines. Can I get a witness? Amen. And by the way, don't keep 30 rounds in them, keep 29 in them because it helps to keep the spring nice and springy. Amen. Just thought I'd tell you. We ought to be thankful for the stability that we have experienced. We live in a place where tomorrow, watch what's going to happen. You're going to get up. You're going to go back to work. The job sites, the customers, wherever it is that you're at, you're going to go back, and for the most part, life is going to be carried on as usual. And don't take this wrong, but the whole mask mandate thing kind of pales in some significance when you think about what's going on the other side of the world. Amen. Now, I'm not saying I'm pro necessarily. I'm just saying when you weigh things out and look at the larger picture, what's going on. But we ought to be thankful. We ought to be a thankful people. Let our supplications with thanksgiving be made known unto God. Philippians 4 tells us. We ought to have that attitude that when we ask with a thanks, with a heart of thanksgiving. And I said all that to say this, because we need to be appreciative of what God's done. In the last days, remember, the perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. We don't need to be a people who are ungrateful. We ought to be folks who are grateful. And the reason I said that is this, because it may, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but our way of life is going to change somewhat. You're already seeing it at the gas pumps. You're already seeing it at the stores. It's amazing. One preacher pointed out here the other day, there are some stores that are having trouble stocking necessities here in the United States, but you walk past the booze cooler and they're all full. Sad, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I guess they keep that there for folks who aren't able to handle the reality once they figure out that they, you know, they're out of food. Amen. Amen. And I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I would encourage you, if you're able to, might be some time to go ahead and go online and, you know, stock up on some things. Buy you a few chickens, have some eggs, that type thing. Amen. Already I'm saying it, my kids are like, oh, I just don't have full of chickens anymore. Amen. All right. Well, I know y'all don't like fooling with them, but that's good. I mean, they're good. Hen fruit is good, and the hen's good too. Amen, when the time's right. You may have to, the time may be where you might need a little bit of a backyard flock to kind of help things. Amen. Folks had victory gardens back in World War II. No reason we can't do a little bit to help ourselves. Amen. Be good Americans and take care of the needs that we have. Amen. While continuing to believe and support our constitutional rights that we have here in this country. Thank the good Lord. What are some things we ought to be assured of? Let me just go and give you some of the negative things first, all right? Let me give you some of the negatives. We can have peace in troubled times, but there are some things we can be assured of. Let me give you this. Number one, we can be assured of the sinful nature of man. The sinful nature of man. Proverbs 18:12 says this. I wrote the wrong verse down. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. What we're seeing is a haughty spirit, a haughty, prideful spirit, trying to rebuild a former glory of a communist regime. That's what we're seeing happening on the other side of the world right now. That is a haughty spirit. That is a prideful spirit. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That happens. It happened to Alexander the Great. Amen. And you can look all the way down through time where it has happened to every single conqueror who has tried to go in and conquer just simply for the purpose of, you know, making a name for himself. Their lives just did not end well. Many of them died madmen. Some of them died by the hands of their own family. They died by the hands of their own trusted associates. But I want to remind you, and you go ahead and mark it down, that unless Vladimir Putin repents, he will die the death of the haughty. Pride will cause his downfall. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's going to happen. Romans 3:13 says this, their throat is an open sepulcher. And I want you to think about this, all the rhetoric that we've heard this past week. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. We don't want to go into Ukraine. With their tongues they have used deceit. You say that's, you know, international espionage and, you know, diplomacy. No, that's just a plain old bald-faced liar. That's exactly what that is. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's Romans 13-18. I want you to think about that. The sinfulness of man is something that we can count on. And as long as we live in this world, we're still going to have to lock our doors. We're still going to have to be prepared to defend ourselves when we leave our homes. Amen. We are still going to have to be vigilant about those around us, not only to watch other folks who could cause us harm, but to protect those who are around us, because we have a, fellas, let me tell you, we have a responsibility to protect those around us. You have, I'm going to say this, you have a responsibility to protect your family, whether you're in the house, whether you're in the church, whether you're in the Walmart, whether you're going through the drive-thru at the Burger King or wherever it is, you have responsibility. And I'm going to go ahead and lay another one on us. As men, as shepherds, we ought to be willing to protect all of those around us, even when you're inside the Walmart. Amen. Amen. When people go into grocery stores and just shoot, you better be prepared. You had better be ready. Your family needs to have a plan what to do, especially if, you know, you do what we try to do and like, you go to that side, I'm going to go over here and look in the gun section over here. But there are no more guns in Walmart, so you don't even have to worry about that anymore. So you don't split up near as much as we used to. But you need to have a plan for that. You need to have a plan. And as long as man is sinful, we are going to have good men in positions of responsibility to stop the moves of madmen. That's all there is to it. You can count on the sinfulness of man. Number three, this is something you can count on. You can count on trouble and sorrow. Job 14:1, you know it as well as I do. Man that is born of woman is what? Few days, full of trouble. Where are we at right now? Our brothers and sisters in Ukraine are fighting a very brave battle. There was a law, or what the president passed here a while back there. They said, if you're between 18 and 60, you can't leave the country, man. Amen. Amen. Of course, I'd be thinking to myself, I'm 65, give me an AK. Had a picture of one lady there. She looked like she was in her late 70s, and she was armed with one of those, looked like a Veleshnikov rifle. And she said, I'm going to do it. And she said, your mother would do it. And I don't know if the news reporter's mother would do it or not, but sure shooting ought to. Amen. Amen. We're going to have trouble and sorrow. The reason I'm saying all this is I want to do a couple things. Number one, I want to remind us that in the midst of all this, we can still have peace by keeping our minds on God. Thou will keep him not in partial peace, not in potential peace, but in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You and I better have a place where we can go to get along with God and remind God that we do trust him. And I'm praying God will take the promises that he's already spoken to us in times past and he will renew those promises in our hearts. Listen, what did he say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How about that? That works in the middle of the Midwest, in the Corn Belt. On the east side of that, here we are. It also works over there on the other side of the world in Ukraine. Amen. It works over there as well. We're seeing that in the lives of believers. But I want to remind us that man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. What we have seen in the last few years within our country, all the shootings aside, all the drugs aside, all the crooked politicians aside, we have really seen a measure of stability that most of the world has never been able to enjoy. We have missionaries. There's one fellow, he was here years ago. He and his wife are in South Africa. They were on the way home from church one day. The light turned green. He went through the light. His wife could not get through the light. The light turned red. That light turned red. Guys came up armed with machine guns, went up and robbed his wife, took her pocketbook and her cell phone there in South Africa. Now, most of us would have probably shot back as soon as we saw the guys pulling the guns out. But being in a place where you're not allowed to defend yourself with any type of a firearm, it makes you realize the amount of stability that we have here in this place, in our nation, is something to be grateful to God about. But that shows us the opposite view, because man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I want to remind us that that is the norm for mankind. That is the norm. And as we begin to think about what's going on in the world, we need to be reminded that what we're seeing should not shock us. It should not shock us. Some things we can be sure of. I'm sure we ought to be grateful. I'm sure that we ought to be reminded that we do see the sinfulness of mankind. We ought to be reminded that we are going to have trouble and sorrow. Matthew 24, 6, I'm going to read you this verse over here just to give you a verse. It says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." And notice he says this, "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Here's what Christ said, all these things must come to pass. There are some things that I can be assured of, and I am sure of this, God has a plan for the last days. I don't know what that plan is, and I know the general run. What is the next great event on God's calendar? What is it? What's the next great event? The catching away of the church, the rapture of the church. Come up hither. That's it. One of these days, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And what did he say in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 4? "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's what I'm going to do this morning. The next great event on God's calendar is the catching away of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we don't know when he's going to come back. But just like that, he will take the church out and we will forever be with the Lord. We will hear that voice that says, "Come up hither." Amen. What a time that's going to be. Think about that. But what's going to happen after that time will ensue the great tribulation. You see, here's what's going on. What we're seeing right now is not the great tribulation. How do you know that? You and I are still here. Amen. We're still here. Now, Brother Mike made a very good point this morning. If Jesus chose 12 disciples and knowingly chose Judas, who was a devil, we need to make our own personal calling and election sure. Make sure you have been born again. Make sure that you're saved. Don't trust a little 2-cent prayer that you might have prayed when you were 6 years old, because that may not have changed your life. You might have gotten religion. You might have gotten wet. You might have gotten inducted into a church, but you never were born again. Make sure that you've been saved. Make sure that you've been saved. But God's got a plan for the ages. And what's going to happen, there's going to be world trouble before there can be a false world peace. This very well could be the world trouble that brings in the Antichrist to bring in that false world peace. The Antichrist very well could be alive right now on planet Earth. Now, I don't know that he is, but you don't know that he isn't. So what does that mean? That means that we need to have constant trust in the Lord right now, because we don't know when he's coming back. We have no idea. God's plan for the ages. That's what I can be assured of. God has got a plan. And listen, if God's got a plan, none of this is catching him by surprise. Can I bring some comfort to us? How can we have perfect peace by having our mind stayed on him? Why do we have it? Why is the focus on God? Why is it on him? Because he is the ruler of the universe. Everything is running according to schedule. As far as the overall plan of God, and God going to bring more glory to himself, God's plan for Israel, God's plan for the church, God's plan for this world, every bit of that is going according to God's plan. Now here's the thing, I'm not on I'm not on the advisory committee. I'm not on that. Okay, so I don't know exactly what's going on every step and every detail. But I do understand this, that God has laid out some definite points in his word, why some preachers are going to Ezekiel 38 and 39 this morning, to discuss what's going on as far as Gog and Magog and Russia and all the rest of it. I do understand that there are some hallmarks that we can look at. But I want to remind us in the overall plan of God that at the very end of this thing, listen to me, God wins. God wins. He does win. He does win. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells us that the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. That's for the church in the rapture. But then later on, after the tribulation, John says that he saw heaven open. You know what he saw? He saw a white horse. And he said when he looked and he saw the one who was on the white horse, he said, "And he that sat upon him was faithful and true." And then he said this, he said, "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. every amount of firepower that every single nation on this earth has would stand up not 1 millisecond to the power of Christ when he comes back, who has the power and the righteous judgment to make war. Amen. And notice when Christ comes back, the Bible says his eyes are as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name which, written which no man knew, he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Why is his vesture dipped in blood? Because he has already gone to battle. He has already slain some of his enemies, and he's riding toward Jerusalem for victory. Amen. God wins at the end of this thing. That much I can tell you. So what I want to encourage us with this morning is that we can have peace in troubled times. And by doing that, there are some things we need to be assured of. Let me just read you a couple of verses, and then I'm going to close out this morning. We have a sure foundation. Let me give you Psalm 125 and verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The first time I ever saw that verse, I was sitting at this part up here in the back, up or the front of the church, I guess, at Rocky Branch years ago when old preacher Lewis Whitehead pulled out that small print Bible. How in the world he saw that small print, I have no idea. He pulled out that small print Bible, pointed over there, and just made some comments about how good it was to be saved and know he was saved, and talking about how that those who trust in the Lord will be just as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. And he knew that he was saved for time and for eternity. That's good stuff right there. No matter what happens, if you're saved, if a nuclear bomb hits you in the back pocket before you're vaporized, you're in the presence of God. Amen. That don't sound like a nice way to go, but at the same time, just realize that on the other side of that. And I'm not trying to scare us. I'm just trying to focus us on reality here. That those who trust in the Lord are not going to be removed, but Mount Zion abides forever. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If you're one of his this morning, God knows exactly who you are. Don't worry about it. That foundation is sure. He will never forget his own. I don't know about you, that's a blessing to hear. That's a blessing to think about. That God knows exactly who his are. And then he says this, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." How can I know that a person's saved? Well, they want to try to live right. Now we're all going to fail, we're all going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to stump our toes. Amen. But may I say to you, there's going to be a desire to do right, to be right, to walk right, to talk right, to do what we can, to honor God. Amen. You and I have a sure foundation because we are in Him. And then let me just give you this, and I've already quoted it, John 16:33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, that in Christ," watch this, "you might have peace." Isn't that interesting? "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Now, listen a minute. Isaiah 26 says this, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Speaking of Jehovah. "Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is their everlasting strength. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." But what did Jesus say? "In me you might have peace." You would almost think that Christ equates himself with Jehovah God. And if you get that, you're exactly right. That's who he is. Christ is God. And I want to encourage you this morning that you and I can have peace. No matter what happens, no matter what's on the news, I want to encourage you, keep your Bible near. Those promises that God has given you in the past, whether you've got them underlined in your Bible, whether you have them written out in a journal somewhere, whatever the case may be, I want to encourage you. Pull those promises back out. Get in your prayer place and take those promises back to God and ask Him to renew some of those back to you again. The time's going to come where we may very well need to spend some more time looking at those promises to get peace, to have... Listen, we're made of the same material as lost people are, whose minds will just come and go. We're made of the same material. And the reason I'm telling us that is this. It's possible that if our minds are not focused where they ought to be, they won't be in perfect peace. They'll be up and down. Amen. Our minds won't have anywhere to sit. We will live in fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when people say, well, you got to be careful about using those verses because you're not on the other side of the world. When Paul wrote those verses, he was in a prison cell under the reign of Nero, who burned Rome down, who was a horrible, horrible megalomaniac, kind of like what we see from Russia right now. Amen. And if he was writing that in that day, that close to facing death, I want to encourage those of us here this morning to keep our minds on Christ, because he encouraged us to do that. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Lord, I pray that you'd take what was said this morning. Lord, we've stammered and stuttered and tried to be a help to your people, tried to look at the words of God here in these verses. Father, as we watch the world around us, and we see things that are unfolding, and the fear that naturally comes to men in a time like this, Lord, will probably come toward us. And Lord, there may be folks here this morning who are afraid. But Lord, I pray that you would cause our fear that we have to be transformed into faith as we put our minds upon you, your goodness, your truthfulness, your eternality, your faithfulness to your word. I pray that you would help us today to trust you. Lord, again, please be with our brothers and sisters on the other side of the world who are in very dire circumstances. Lord, we pray for the success of the Ukrainian defense. We pray for the defeat of Russia. We pray for that, Lord. We ask that you'd do it. We ask that you'd save Putin, save those men. Cause those Russians who are there to have fear in their heart and to throw down their weapons and run. I know the Ukrainians are not Jews, Lord, but I'm sure there are some Jews in Ukraine. Some who've probably come to Messiah. And I pray, Lord, you just protect your people there. And I ask God that you would be merciful to us, Lord. Our leadership, Lord, needs wisdom now, not to be lifted up in pride. They need wisdom to do what's right for us. And I pray that you would give them wisdom, Lord, because they greatly need it. Please protect us, Lord, as we leave this place today. And help us, Lord, to, again, to honor your word and to trust you. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.